1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Vice President Harris spoke to a packed arena at Georgia State University at her largest rally so far. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee with a promise to voters.
When we win this election, here's what we're going to do about it. On day one, I will take on price gouging and bring down costs.
Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance spoke to voters in Nevada. There were failures I can't defend. That's what acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe told members of the Senate Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees today at a hearing into the agency's response to the attempted assassination of former President Trump. Three inmates are dead, nine were injured after an altercation at a maximum security prison in Ely, Nevada. Days after the election in Venezuela, President Nicolas Maduro and the country's main opposition coalition both say they won. This is ABC News. The Justice Department is suing Norfolk Southern, alleging the railroad has been causing chronic delays for Amtrak between New York and New Orleans. Norfolk says it's been working on-time performance with Amtrak. It's gold for the U.S. women's gymnastics team at the Paris Olympics.
Now, eight-time medalist cementing her place in the record books as America's most decorated gymnast.
I don't keep count. I don't keep stats. I just go out here and do what I'm supposed to, and I'm doing what I love and enjoying it.
Bars crediting her teammates, Jade Carey on the vault, Jordan Charles on the uneven bars, and Suni Lee shining on the beam. The gold tasting good for Team USA, Italy taking silver, their first gymnastics medal since 1928, and Brazil with an historic bronze, their first ever team medal in gymnastics.
That's ABC's James Longman. Stocks closed mixed today. The Dow is up, the NASDAQ and the S&P closing lower. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a 1,200-mile footpath started in the 1950s and now running through 30 Wisconsin counties. The Ice Age Trails PR director, Melissa Pyrick, says one group of hikers describes it best.
They started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this North Woods, which is very rural and rustic. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful.
The trail continues south to Janesville, then back to the northeast and up to Sturgeon Bay. It is also one of just 11 in the country designated as a National Scenic Trail. Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's young people are in a mental health crisis. That's according to new survey results from the Department of Public Instruction. 59% of high school students said they've dealt with at least one mental health challenge in the past year. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley says schools need more mental health services. Kamala Harris is running for president, but overall, fewer women are running for office across the country this fall. Princeton University's Debbie Walsh.
Women have been essential to flipping the most competitive seats in recent election years, and women of color have been winning both statewide executive and legislative seats in states and districts with majority white electorates.
Record numbers of women were elected to Congress in the last three cycles, but now the Center for American Women in Politics says the numbers have dropped off this year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Trade deadline coming up tonight, and the Brewers sending outfielder Joey Weimer and pitcher Jacob Junis to the Reds for right-hander Frankie Montas. 9 years in the big leagues, 19 starts this year for Cincinnati, an ERA that started out at 3.56 but has risen into the fives. Meanwhile, just as the crew gets back Devin Williams as the closer, Trevor McGill goes on the 15-day IR. Manager Pat Murphy.
Breaking news, Trevor McGill on the IL. Lower back. He's been dealing with it for about 5 days. He'll get an MRI this afternoon. That's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Brewers last night with a nice 8-3 win at home over the Braves. Home runs by Hoskins, Adamas, Churio. NFL, Packers back on the practice field today in Green Bay. The Badgers football team begins training camp for the next 2 weeks at UW-Platteville.
Well, I think it's first and foremost, it's about getting away. To really get them to, you know, get to know each other and a lot of things even a little deeper.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm or two. Lows in the mid-60s. Mainly sunny tomorrow, a pop-up storm in the afternoon and evening. Humid and warm with highs in the mid-80s. More storms, heat, and humidity for Thursday.
Right now it's 80.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Pat Kraitlow of Up North News is in the guest host chair and a great conversation with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Talk of Green
You're
Bay,
listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, I'm here in the motherland here. I'm Black River Falls in a beautiful hotel at the Black River Falls Casino here in Black River Falls.
Wow, that's Ho-Chunk land, isn't it?
That sure is. Well, we like to say everywhere it's Ho-Chunk land, but this is definitely where the motherland is right here, and glad to be here.
Yeah.
And we got a jam-packed show today.
We do, yeah. While we're waiting for Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center's president and CEO, Ruth Buffalo, we're going to be having Heather Keeler call in later, and she will be joining with Jay White Rabbit, who is also Ho-Chunk. So this is going to be a fun show.
Yeah, well, you know, us Ho-Chunks, we have really good sense of humors, and we definitely tell you what we think. So we're the people of the sacred voice. Ho-wah.
Yeah, the sacred voice, Ho-Chunk people, the people of the big voice is also something I've heard, which I just got to go and say this. This is kind of funny. I was out with my Jaji yesterday, my dad, and he was getting out of the car. And I always say, you know, your voice kind of carries, Jaji. Your voice is very loud. So I say, you know, you're using your Ho-Chunk voice, and we always have a good laugh. But yeah, I think probably the last time I was out in Black River Falls was for the Ho-Chunk Memorial Powwow.
Yeah.
And you were there too.
Yeah, I was there. You know, I was secretive, you know, hiding around, had sunglasses on. But yeah, I was definitely there, and it was good to see you and my Hinu out there. And it's always good to go out to Ho-Chunk's land and watch the powwow. Hey, here's our friend Ruth Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center CEO. Welcome, Ruth. How's it going?
Good, good. Dosha, hello, Madzigadads. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. And you know what? We're really grateful, Haley and I, and our listening audience, that you can make it with us once a week and give us updates and your perspective of what's going on. So I just want to say I have a big peeny geegee thank you so much, Ruth, for uplifting our show here at Native Roots Radio.
Sure. Madzigadads. Thank you both for your good work, too. And uplifting your voices, for sure.
Right on. So let's get to it. What's happening at the Minnesota Indian Resource Center? And there's so much good medicine that we talk about when we do talk about your organization, which I should say our organization. You're the CEO, but just great, great medicine. So what's happening?
Today we were going to have a women's sweat, but because of the heat, we have adjusted our schedule, and so we're offering a in-house ceremony, and that is led and coordinated by George Gogliai. I apologize, George. I'm still trying to get the pronunciation of your name. But we have relatives that will be here that have traveled from north of the Medicine Line from Canada. So we're excited to host our relatives from the north. And so we also have ongoing programming. You know, our doors are open, continue to remain open. And we're so thankful for everybody's support. We have the drop-in center that is fully staffed, and women can come in, take a shower, get connected to resources, and also get a snack bag full of like 9 different items. We are also, you know, continuing to fundraise. And so miwrc.org/donate. We're so thankful for the community's support, ongoing support, and the various donors from across our country, across Indian country, that are contributing to the success of our services that we provide to those in most need.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to talk just a little bit for our listeners out there, how important Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is here in the Twin Cities, because in like a few people show up once a week, we have a stream of people that need our help and services.
Yes, for sure. We have, you know, just a revolving door of providing services to the community, whether it is prevention of evictions, whether it is getting connected to stabilized housing. We are also, you know, we have a pretty solid family services program and department that helps keep families together, works for family reunification through the Indian Child Welfare Act, ICWA kinship care workers. We have an ICWA liaison that helps advocate in the courts. We have a family spirit home visitor worker, and she's bringing her little with her to work. And it's so amazing just to see a little new, you know, newborn in the office space. And, you know, we are Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, so we are happy to be in a place and space that contributes to the nurturing love and care that our relatives deserve and need. And so we also have traditional birthing, traditional healing, and our Nujimo program, which it translates into She Heals in the Ojibwe language, provides ongoing support for individuals and families who have been directly impacted by gender-based violence, which includes domestic violence, sexual assault, and also human trafficking. So it's ongoing work, but we continue to partner with existing organizations, and we're so thankful for the partnerships and the resources from community grassroots level to every level of government.
Wow, that's a mouthful, and that's awesome work. And the organization's been around for 40 years, so it isn't like it's brand new, but as all organizations go up and down, and really a big upswing right now since the excitement of you being sought after to run this organization here in Minnesota, which is just a great story in itself, you know, that they wanted Ruth Buffalo. And Haley and I and our listeners, for the times that you've been on the show, know that that was such a great, great hire by a Minnesota Indians Women's Resource Center.
Matzigadads, thank you. Yes, my family and community, you know, thanks you, and thank you for your kind words. It's, you know, definitely a big responsibility, you know, making sure that our most vulnerable among us are well taken care of and deserve the love, care, and attention that they deserve, you know, the respect and dignity. And so it's been good, and it's, you know, really, I would much rather prefer working behind the scenes. You know, even before I got into public office, I was much more comfortable, you know, being behind the scenes and being the worker bee workhorse. But then, you know, community members then pushed me out in front, and then so on and so forth, you know. But I would much rather be behind the scenes, keeping the organization moving forward and you know, equipping our employees and staff with the skills, you know, that they have within them, but to really push for our community members from the Phillips neighborhood to be out there and to be strengthening their voice and, you know, working hard on behalf of all of us is really important.
Well, last week I was not being able to be on, and Haley did a great job hosting the show. Thank you so much, Haley. And and being comfortable, being able to talk to Ruth and know Ruth really helped out, and I really appreciate you guys doing that. And hopefully, maybe next segment here, we can talk a little bit about what's going on, and seeing that I haven't talked to you in a week. I got the fever. I got the VP Harris fever. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it was fun visiting with Haley last week. We were gearing up for our community meeting. We've started monthly community meetings here at MIWRC. And so I was logging in through my phone. But what I noticed, it magnifies my lisp. I noticed. I was like listening to it afterwards. I was like, dang, that lisp sounds pretty strong today.
Wow. Well, we can talk a little bit about that too, if you want. All right. Great to have you on, Ruth. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambliot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Absolutely. Give Chuck a call. Hey, we are here with Ruth Buffalo, and really it's fun, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, the CEO, and it's really fun to talk and share with you. And even though I must be going hard of hearing as I'm getting older, because I've heard no lisp. I hear no lisp.
Maybe it's just me.
but I definitely say a lot. I do, when I do listen to the show, I am the king of So I don't know.
So
hey, let's go on.
Yeah.
So I was re-energized. It took me a good 12 hours to figure out that I was really excited and that the Democratic Party was not beating itself up and really supported a BIPOC woman for president. And that excited me, hearing that Vice President Harris got $100 million in 24 hours, hearing that people like Haley gave money, and hearing that There's over 100,000 people now that have joined in helping and volunteering and all these things that have made this last week and a half so exciting for me as a Democrat and as a voter.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting, you know, watching the news. And I know my daughter, she's 21, and she openly shared how it's exciting to see a woman, you know, candidate again running for president. So I think it has generated a lot of excitement, and I think that's what's needed in getting voters engaged and out to vote for sure.
Yeah, well, the young ones are getting excited, and I believe in the last presidential election, Gen Z saved us again, along with the strong Native vote all over Turtle Island. And I know up north, place people like Making Voting a Tradition and Rock the Vote Native Style signed over 9,000 new people to vote in Indian country. And for that, I think the Walz Flanagan administration, a lot of local and national governments are really happy about how Minnesota natives took charge.
Yes, for sure. We definitely have a big block as American Indian people, tribal people, you know, Native people. And so it's important that those in decision-making arenas, you know, on every level of government, that they do not take our vote for granted, you know. And I remember being in grad school in public health for a Master of Public Health, and our instructor shared, you know, it was in an American Indian public policy class, American Indian public health policy class, and the term or the sentence that poor health is a result of poor policy really resonated with me back then. And it still does, because when you dive deeper and look at who is making the policies, who is behind these policies, and are they reflective of the communities they're representing, you know, so it's important to hold our electeds accountable and make sure that funding is being distributed in the most respectful and meaningful way, to where it comes down to the people, trickles down to the people who need the help the most, like here in the Phillips neighborhood, for sure. There are some funding disparities, and we're thankful for our partners and every level of government, but our vote does count, but it definitely is a catalyst for change, for sure. And it doesn't end where our vote with at the ballot box. It's, you know, quite honestly, maybe just the beginning, but we definitely need to find parity in the distribution of funds, especially in this day and age where we have a high rates of opioid overdose and high rates of unhoused relatives, and, you know, all of the other the things that our relatives and our most vulnerable face on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I want to ask you a personal question. What excites you? What gets you up every day? I know you've been working for your community wherever you are for a very long time, and you have to have some sort of thing that gets you going and gets you up every day. What excites you and gets you going?
gosh, dang, that's a loaded question. Just kidding. Well, I mean, I do love spending time by the water wherever I'm at. And so I think summer is a nice time. I mean, anytime the water is like thawed, you know, as a lifelong North Dakotan, you know, with winter being at least 9 months, you know, out of the year. But I think what gets me excited is just thinking of the future generations, really, and the responsibility that each of us have to do the best we can and do the most we can while we're here on this earth.
Yeah, great answer. And I think that's kind of what I was getting at, too, is that I've seen so much change in my lifetime, being 63. I was, you know, 17 years old when we legally could practice our own religion, and that wasn't that long ago. And I know a lot's changed, too. You're not even close to being as old as me, but you've seen a lot of change in your lifetime, too.
Yes, for sure. I think it's, you know, when you think of our parents, and they're not very far removed from a lot of the harmful federal policies that that our communities survived or endured or tolerated through, you know. So I think of that living memory, and you know, like our elders that are alive today are, you know, our living truth, you know, and so it's important to acknowledge our ancestors, our living relatives and the future generations, because we were, you know, put on this earth for a reason and in this moment together. So it's important that we do the most that we can while we're here and be good to one another is so critically important.
Well, you mentioned your parents, and I cannot imagine what they went through seeing that their land was flooded. Your land is underwater because of dams and the government doing us wrong. I can't imagine how, because we're so attached to the land, how devastating that was for your family.
For sure. There's still indentions on the land where my grandma's dad would sit, you know, and just spend the rest of his days looking out at the water where Elba Woods used to be. Because when they got forcibly removed and relocated to rough, barren grazelands, to this area called Independence, which is west of Mandaree. But my great grandpa spent, you know, the rest of his days. He was quite elderly, and he had a log cabin next to my grandparents' house. But he would spend the rest of his days just, you know, gazing out at the water. And so to this day, there's like concave indentions on the land where there's no grass, you know, from where he used to sit. And he would go from one tallest peak down to like through a dip or a coulee ravine, and then go to the other highest peak. And then when he get tired, you know, sitting in this one area, he'd go to the other side. And but I know he spent a lot of time in prayer too, and I just want to acknowledge, you know, that our ancestors, our relatives were very prayerful, spiritual people, and that often gets lost in translation and in today's day and age, but they were very, very spiritual people.
Well, and that's a really great point, and thanks for bringing that up. And, you know, I believe you're an answer to their prayers and the work that you've done, and being a state representative and things like that. So that's powerful medicine to hear, to be reminded that we are people of prayer, and that's really good medicine. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I had the opportunity to visit with a few women who are in town at the We Win conference out at Mystic Lakes. I had the opportunity to visit with a few women last night. And yeah, we were, of course, you know, a bunch of Native women or American Indian women, tribal women get together. There's like joking and laughing and the Native humor. And so we were, yeah, cracking jokes. And yeah, that came up too about being our aunts, you know, the prayers, our ancestors' prayers, but we were having fun with it. And so it's, yeah, trying to, you know, keep it light too. And it's good to come together and have some good laughs together with women from all over Indian country. So yeah, We Win is happening right now out at Mystic Lake. And I think it goes until tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear too, we only got a little bit left time here. I have also heard too that there's going to be an all call for Vice President Harris for all Natives, or maybe it's Native women, the first round. I know they did BIPOC and Native women, and that was very successful and raised a lot of money, but also engaged our people.
Yes, for sure. It's, gosh, what is it? September, almost August. So, yeah, I think they... putting my community member hat on, but yeah, I think they're going to have to kind of gain some traction because of the timeline in campaign season in November. So they got a lot of ground to cover and kind of have to make up for last time for sure.
Well, thank you so much. And I always want to say representative, but Ruth Buffalo.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Vice President Harris spoke to a packed arena at Georgia State University at her largest rally so far. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee with a promise to voters.
When we win this election, here's what we're going to do about it. On day one, I will take on price gouging and bring down costs.
Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance spoke to voters in Nevada. There were failures I can't defend. That's what Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe told members of the Senate Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees today at a hearing into the agency's response to the attempted assassination of former President Trump. Three inmates are dead, nine were injured after an altercation at a maximum security prison in Ely, Nevada. Days after the election in Venezuela, President Nicolas Maduro and the country's main opposition coalition both say they won. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers has named an auditor for the Milwaukee Public School District. MGT of America Consulting will review the district's operations and finances in one of two audits Evers ordered to get MPS back on track. MPS submitted late financial forms last fall, which kept the district from getting state and federal funding. You can now find the biggest pickleball facility in Wisconsin between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. James Kelly reports.
The Chippewa Valley Pickleball Club held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new facility on Monday. Officials say the project cost about $500,000 to complete, and they expect it will bring a number of visitors to the area, providing an economic boost. The organization is planning to use the facility to host a number of tournaments in the future, including a five-day competition next July. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff. And this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If your resume is updated, you might want to send it to the Academy Awards. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Jimmy Kimmel and John Mulaney both turned down Oscars so far. ABC company man Kimmel has hosted the Oscars four times and the Emmys three times, but he's trying to slow down and have more balance in his life. Oh well, Mulaney said no thanks, maybe next year. The Oscars don't need to panic yet. The broadcast isn't until March 2nd, and it is still considered a prestigious gig, where most of the time you won't get slapped. Just because you've had a good sitcom once doesn't mean it's automatic your new show will get picked up. Just ask Ty Burrell, who played Phil Dunphy on the hit ABC show Modern Family. The crazy talented Burrell starred in 250 episodes of Modern Family, won two Emmys, and was nominated for eight straight years. ABC still passed on his new pilot, Forgive and Forget. A tough biz indeed. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with maybe a stray storm or two, lows in the mid-60s. Mainly sunny tomorrow, a pop-up storm in the afternoon and evening, humid and warm with highs in the mid-80s. More storms, heat, and humidity for Thursday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday to a very special Devil's Advocates. We'll have heretics for Harris. We'll have Satanists for Harris. We'll have white dudes for Harris. Vote for Harris.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here and with our good friend Anna Negrete, a community planner for the Minnesota MMI, our state office, and we are really excited to be on. I know with billboards and things like that, there's new cases, but there's also cases that have been happened a long time ago that we don't want to forget, right? Oops, you're on mute.
There you go. I don't know how many times we've heard that over COVID times, right? We start talking. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things with our office, you know, being relatively new. We've been in the office for 2.5 years now. We're still playing catch up. And so we have some work to do and community still learning about what we do and what we can offer, what types of support we can offer. So I think right now our oldest case is about 40 years old. And, you know, that's one of the cases that's highlighted on the billboards up in the Twin Cities. To be clear, there's two in Minneapolis. I want to say there's one in Burnsville, Moundsview, Shoreview, Maplewood, and Columbus Township. So I'll be looking for those. But yeah, it's just been great to, you know, connect with some of those folks that have those resources to support us and highlight that, you know, what our families are going through and let them know that, you know, they're not forgotten. You know, that's what in talking to one of the families recently, they're like, it's so nice to see those up because it lets me know that I'm not the only one looking for my brother, my sister, my loved one. And so it's been awesome to kind of give them that spark of hope and feeling that they're not alone anymore. So super thankful for those partnerships.
Well, it's crazy because like we have the opportunity on February 14th to hear these stories live. I can't imagine how do you take care of your mental health? Because those stories keep coming daily, and not only the 40-year-old ones, but the daily ones. And we as Facebook people see people disappearing all the time.
That's a really great question. I mean, I'm fortunate to be connected with my indigenous roots and, you know, do ceremonies, smudge down when I need to. And, you know, also I have a great support system where we, you know, where I'm allowed to laugh too as part of my healing. And so in the depths of kind of all the dark things and heavy things that we do, I'm thankful to have that laughter too, just because that gets me through when other things can't. So super appreciative of that support, and you have to build that. So
yeah, it is. And you do have to have support, and you do have to be able to talk to people that are going through. I know it's fun. It's funny too, in a different sense here with news and also being so dark when we started the show. 8 years ago with first Dakota Access Pipeline and then the Trump administration and things like that, that we have to talk to each other and talk to our relatives about where we're at and how we're feeling. So we talk about that, how important it is here all the time. And I'm glad you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have the support of the office, and they really allow us to do and take care of those things and make sure that they bring that up as a priority. You know, we get to have fun times too, being out in community. We get to go out and present. I was up in my new coworker and I, actually our office expanded a little bit. We had some transition. We have a new intelligence specialist, Taylor Lampert, Taylor Wenzel, sorry. And she and I went up to Canada and connected with some relatives up there and talked about human trafficking and how we're dealing with MMIR here in Minnesota. So she's a new addition to our office. I think she came on in April. And then we also have Deanna Bolio joining our office as a victim specialist. And so she is working one-on-one with families too, as we get more cases and folks come into a space where they're asking for support. We now have a dedicated person to work with them and act as a liaison between law enforcement and the families or whatever they need. As they go through these challenging times of being impacted by MMIR. So our office is growing a little bit. So it's nice to have that extra support. And like I said, just be out in community. We, you know, it's not all
it's not always grim. We, you know, we're out at Powell's, we're out, you know, just being in community spaces. That's always nice to see smiling faces. And, so it's, we have some balance in that, thankfully.
Well, you know, you always see me and I'm up there begging for free swag and, you know how that is, but I appreciate it. We do have fun and have a lot of fun conversations too, for sure.
Yeah, we'll be out at National Night Out in a couple locations. I know our director will be down in her home community down in Lower Sioux. I'm going to be back in my hometown on the west side of St. Paul and their community at down at Castile Park. I think we'll be, Deanna's heading over to the Minneapolis Urban Indian Center out that way. So she'll be in Minneapolis. I think we have some other folks in, that are heading to Leech Lake. So we got, we'll be throughout the state just building that sense of community and can hit us up for some swag. I think we'll have these new bandanas out. Really trying to also like trying to prioritize safety. So we got those, we got a couple cases of these screeching alarms. So folks are out in community or places where they're feeling unsafe. You pull the pin and it makes a really loud sound. It has a little flashlight. We know that it's not preventative of all things, but we just, you know, wanted to do something to emphasize that safety and talk about that and open things up, open up discussion and community about the importance of being safe. And so we have some of those items as well as first aid kits and some other things that really just trying to reassure communities that we care and we're here and, you know, hit us up if they need support.
Yeah, that's really important. And I think I did see those screech things last time I saw you, and that's a great idea. You know, it'll get people's attention and also get the conversation going, because it's an interesting thing, because, you know, as we get together as community, we have a lot of fun, but this is also a very important and serious thing. And again, for me, it's heart-wrenching to hear a lot of these families and what they're
I know I have a wall here at my house of the, some of the cases that I work and then that you know, as you hear them, you just can't, as you hear the families, it keeps me motivated, and I have their posters and their faces on the wall. So I'm looking at them every day, reminded it's not just a name, or it's not just a case. It's this is a family, and these are the stories, and I'm blessed that they trust me enough to share with me some of their, you know, just really that deep, very personal stuff. But that keeps me motivated to ask for billboards, motivated to go out and speak and raise awareness. I'm super fortunate. I'm so thankful to be in the position I'm at with MMIR.
Yeah. What I always like to talk to our guests about is a call to action, and how can our listeners out there support you and support your work? And, you know, there's, of course, information, but how can they support you? And, of course, there's the license plates for people to support you. But is there a direct line, too, on how we can support this action?
Yeah, of course, like the license plate, and they can actually donate directly to the Reward Fund Board, you know, without getting license plates, if that's not their thing. But also, you know, sharing posts, talking about it, referring relatives if you see posts, social media posts online about somebody missing, direct them to our office, let them know that there is support out there. Because I think that even though we've been around for, you know, 2 years, and now I'm a little bit over a year now into the office or my work in the office, but people still don't know that we exist and what we have to offer. So just, you know, send them our way, let them know that they can reach out to us. We do our best to be responsive. Also, when there's a call to search for relatives, show up. I know it's not easy, or the task isn't easy to come out to take time off. But even if it's a couple hours or something as simple as handing out posters, you know, show up, talk about it, say their names. Don't be afraid to offer support to families. I think sometimes we're afraid when relatives go through grief, we don't know what to say, or we may not have the right words. And so we don't say anything out at all. And so just encourage relatives to, you know, let families know that you're there, that you support, them, that you're part of community, and that you see them and that you remember their loved ones with them. So, I mean, those are some kind of simple ways to be a good relative, I would say. So,
yeah, definitely. And that we want to be a good relative. And I'm just really, really happy. And I can't believe it's already been 2 years that this has been going on, because I know State Senator Mary Kunis tried to get it through 3 years ago in an omnibus bill. And then it had the both sides of the aisle were supporting this. And that's really good to hear, and really heartwarming that, you know, we live in a great state here.
Yeah, we're really fortunate. As other states look to us about, you know, how they can replicate what we're doing here in Minnesota, we tell them you need a champion. You need to connect with folks that have and can amplify those voices. And so that's the message that we brought to Winnipeg. And that's what we tell others who are reaching out. There's going to be a national convening in Arizona coming up in October, where folks that are addressing MMIR or MMIP or MMIW, whatever they call it in their state, get together and talk about the lessons that they've learned, what's going well, what are our common challenges. And so be the first time that we're getting together as folks that address that. So we're excited about that. And, you know, thankful to, again, that the people of Minnesota and Minnesota has said this is important. We're going to put this in office and to show some leadership on what other communities can do and talk about our lessons learned. So,
yeah, that's exciting. And it's also proud to be a Minnesotan. And I know our community is very mobile. Dakotas, Wisconsin, and Iowa come back and forth. But, you know, we're proud here, the people that are living in Minnesota, of our politicians doing right for us.
Yeah, I agree. And Senator Kunis has been awesome with us, and Lieutenant Governor has come out in support, and it's just nice to have that backing. Now, somebody was asking in the chat where our state offices were located in downtown St. Paul, but we're fortunate to work remotely and can be where the need is. And so we're all over the state. Our main office is there, but we work wherever needed. So thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to see you, and we love promoting your work, and it's just, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break with who, Haley?
Angela Two Stars of NACTI and All My Relations Arts.
Right on. You passed the test. We'll be right back.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio here to tell you about the best window contractor in Minnesota, 952 Windows. Here's why I trust them in my home projects. 952 Windows is a part of Loyal Home, founded by former window light workers known for their ethics and quality. It's a top-notch remodeling company that's been flying under the radar for too long. They've even sold to competitors' employees who want top-tier quality for their homes. For the best in windows and doors, have 952 Windows take care of your next project. They offer the longest warranties and were rated Energy Star's most efficient in windows and doors. Believe me, I've known the owner for decades, so I can vouch for their excellence. They're not just about windows either. They're your go-to for roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more. Plus, they've got you covered on Onyx bath and rosebud cabinets. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952-WINDOWS or 952windows.com. Back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Hey, we're really happy to have Angela Two Stars, director of All My Relations Art with Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we have a new exhibit coming up here. Great to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's nice to see you guys.
Right on. Hey, how did that last showing go? I was really, Buffalo Hyde show is wrapping up the alternative at All My Relations. That was just an awesome exhibit.
It was, yeah. It was so fun to have Frank's work and to introduce, you know, his work to the Twin Cities. It's been wonderful to have a show up, and we're really grateful that he allowed us to extend it for a little bit because we had an event in the gallery, so we got to have some, you know, that eye candy up for people to come in to see what we're about and see who we're supporting and get that artist work out there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, I'm a hanger-oner, as you know, Angela, you know, and I beg for food and things like that, as you know, in your office, but it's always exciting to be there and watch people, whether they're grabbing a cup of coffee or just coming through the town to check out the gallery.
Yeah, I think it's something that is always changing. And so people coming in, you know, they get to see new art, new artists, and all of the art is, you know, it's a reflection of Native people and our different stories and history and contemporary experiences. And so when our community comes in, you know, they see themselves reflected in the work. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. So what do we have next? What's coming up next? I can't wait.
Yeah, we have a new exhibition opening on August 1st. It's by Jennifer White. It's called Arikara Proper. And Jennifer actually owns the Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so she's having a solo exhibition at All My Relations. She's an Arikara artist. She works with acrylics, and she's got paintings to share with our community. She depicts her Northern Plains culture, and she's just a really fun, vibrant, strong artist. I'm really looking forward to the community being able to come and see her work. Her paintings are beautiful. They're, you know, they really have a lot of meaning in them.
How do you guys pick an artist?
Well, you know, now that we're out of the pandemic, we can actually plan forward. So, you know, typically we like to have about 2 years of planning for exhibitions, and we like to do a range of solo exhibitions, group exhibitions. We like to have, you know, guest curators, you know, to kind of change things up. So it's not always like, you know, my preference or, you know, and Jennifer and I actually met in 2018 at the Indigenous Peoples Day Festival. She and I were both exhibiting artists. We had booths, and that October of that year was so cold. I completely was like not looking to sell any of my work. I was just focusing on staying warm. And she was right next to me, and we just had such a fun time getting to know each other. And, you know, so I always remembered, you know, her. And then our VP of development, John Williams, came from Sioux Falls. And so he had shared about Jennifer. And so as we were playing our calendar, I was looking for a solo artist, and we went to visit her last year and invited her to have a solo exhibition, All My Relations. And she was very moved. And, you know, I think for me, it shows the impact that All My Relations has on artists, like, and their careers and opportunity that it provides. So that's very meaningful. And I really take that very seriously, that we're able to offer this for artists and to be able to share their work, you know, with our community.
Well, that's a really, really good point. And I wanted to ask you real quick about your art and how people can see your art. And do you have a Facebook or do you have it hanging? What about
your
art?
Goodness. I actually just closed. I myself had a solo exhibition at the Great Plains Art Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska. That just closed days ago. So I'm going to be heading down there to pick up my work. But yeah, it's something, you know, as a solo artist, you have that responsibility to fill the whole gallery. And so that's one thing, like when we host solo artists at All My Relations, it's that recognition that they are carrying the whole weight of the show. You know, they're showcasing who they are as artists, and they have to fill the entire gallery with their work. So that's a lot of art that they have to create, and it's a responsibility, you know, for these artists. And having a solo show is a really big deal for artists, especially, you know, at All My Relations, to be able to have a solo exhibition, because it's not something that comes, you know, like frequently, you know, in like the larger art institutions. So that's one of the things why we want to have specific solo exhibitions for artists in our space.
Well, you do. And Haley, it's never been a disappointment when we go in there.
Oh, thank you.
Never. It's forever changing, and they have, you know, you guys really pick great artists. And I want to mention too, in Frank's last exhibition, his artwork and his pieces were phenomenal, but also just the titles in which he titled his pieces, I know, held some weight to him too. So it's really cool to see how artists kind of put their own little take on their solo exhibitions.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I had a cousin visiting from the reservation from my hometown just yesterday, and I showed her, you know, some of my public art pieces in the community, and it was explaining the concepts behind my work, and she was commenting about how without having me there to explain those things, like, she wouldn't have known, you know, kind of like that depth and that those concepts that the artists incorporate into their work. So it's always really fun when you can meet with the artists one-on-one and hear their, you know, reasons behind how they created their work or their titles. Jennifer is actually going to be in town next weekend. We have our opening on August 3rd, and it's going to be a fun time. We have a food truck. We've got music. We've got the Black Widows that are going to be playing at 7 o'clock. And Jennifer is just such good energy. She's such a fun person to be around. So I would want to encourage everybody to come out to meet her, because she's a really cool lady. And it's going to be really fun to show her work, because it's just beautiful. Like, very passionate, expressive work that she does.
Well, how can people, is there tickets for that? Because I know when we did our reading, our Ho-Chunk reading, we had to close the doors. There were so many people there. So
there was. Yeah. Well, our opening reception, you know, it runs from 6 until 9. So it's kind of an open door, revolving door that people can come in. And then we have everything outside too. So like the food truck will be outside. So we'll have tables set up. The band will be outside. So it's nice to have kind of like just a summer party. Hopefully the weather, you know, is cooperative, and then people can go in to spend some time with Jennifer's work. And so, you know, they get a ticket to get themselves an Indian taco or something from Bob's truck. Hopefully we have Bob, because he's a busy guy these days.
Yeah. Well, and I've been mentioning the fact, too, that I've been at other events, and I go, well, who catered this? And a lot of times Bob's been out and about with not only the food truck, but just all his other recipes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually going to be hosting the awardee for the 3rd annual of Jim Denemy Memorial Scholarship. We're going to be having a dinner for him and his family next month. So Bob is on the docket to cater that meal, because it's always a good food from Bob.
Well, Angela.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Kathy Bratz, who we're calling Coach Kathy, is coming in to talk more about how she lost 195 pounds. Maybe she can help us.
Then we're moving with the Melcors. Ben and Deanna join us at 7:30.
busted pencils,
fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.